From the insane asylum, it is Night of the Living Dreads, brought to you by GoreHoundsOfHorror.com, Gorehounds of Horror on Facebook. I am Otis B. Dreads.
I am Malice Murphy.
Yes, you are, my friend. We have a really good show tonight, and we're both feeling, you know, kind of frisky, kind of loose, you know. Did I say too much there?
I don't know.
But at any rate, we are actually recording this. It is Friday night, and so a week's gone by. How's your week been, my friend?
It's been a shit factory all week.
All week. Please, What happened?
Today's been the worst day. Like
the worst of, you know, the whole shit factory, yeah, was today?
This past week is just life. But today, it's been a shit show ever since I woke up. Instantly woke up, thought that, you know, maybe I should just call off because my morning started off bad.
How did that happen?
Well, I didn't have a clean shirt for work. Just a sweaty, dirty shirt. So I was like, well, I just threw that damn thing on and was like, all right, let's start the day and
go to work smelling like swamp ass.
Yep. And then work starts out like shit, getting bitched at, telling us we're not mowing the yards at the right height, so we got to drop our deck an inch, which is going to put us behind because we're going to have to double cut everything.
Right.
And we're already behind because of the rain earlier in the week. And we get to our first property, which we have to repair a rut.
This is where it gets good, gore hounds.
The mower slides down a hill and gets stuck, and we create more ruts after fixing ruts and have to fix those ruts.
Then there's bloodshed, I promise.
The next property, we argue with the customer on why we don't park in his driveway. Then the property after that.
Here it comes.
We run into a little problem where the mower hits water shutoff cover in the yard, and we were trying to fix that. And from where the blades hit the steel cover, it ripped shards of metal, which, unbeknownst
final
to me,
destination
were sticking
type
out.
Shit is what it sounds like.
And I have this giant shard of metal shred into my pinky finger and split it wide open.
What, you had two stitches?
It was only two stitches, thankfully. I mean, the pinky finger's not that big, but it's...
What yours is, you got a fat pinky finger.
It's more meaty than...
Oh, okay, you can call it, yeah. You say tomato, I say tomato. So that is kind of a pretty crappy way to end the weekend. Or end the week, I should say. Start the weekend with
my weekend's
stitched up pinky finger and that poor baby.
My week is continuing into the weekend.
Oh yeah, you got to work tomorrow.
Yes, I do, all day long.
Well, you know, my friend, I'm so sorry. My week has been, little of this, little of that. If you only worked with me and my boss, you'd understand. All right, let's get into some horror stuff. I came across this article in perusing Facebook, and it gave a photo, and we talked about this a few episodes ago, about how Child's Play 2 female star, I cannot remember her name offhand, said that it was kind of a dick move to make a Child's Play remake and not have any of the original characters in it. They're not having, and again, I did no research, so I don't have the names in front of me of the actual actors and actresses, but Charles Lee Ray, that actor that played him?
No, that's the name of Chucky. That's not right. The name of the actor.
No, I know that. No, the guy who played Charles Lee Ray. Pay attention.
I'll show up.
ladies and gentlemen, joining me soon will be Malice Murphy. But yes, the actor that played the voice of Chucky will not be present.
Right.
It will be another person. None of the original actors from any of the original, you know, the original Chucky will not be present. Done. Shit on.
Yeah.
And that's why she called it a dick move. So I was intrigued when I seen, we get our first shot at the new remake version look of Chucky. And I have this up on the screen here. What do you think? The first thing that got me was the Christian Slater 1989 hairdo. It is kind of, you know, not long, but it's kind of, you know, medium length and slick back. Now, I know our listeners, they understand, they know, they remember what Chucky looked like, and his hair was parted in the middle and just kind of hanging over his ears and whatnot. Not the case here. What's your opinion, at least about the hair so far?
It ain't right.
It ain't right. That rat there is not rat. What do you think? It does kind of have a Christian Slater. He almost has a widow's peak.
It's clean. It's slick back.
It is. Now, the face. I'm scrolling down because it's a pretty big picture here that I can't get in all one, you know, screenshot here. The face don't look too much different. Let me move my mic up. What do you think about that?
I think the freckles aren't dark enough.
They're not. They were really really pronounced in the original Chucky. And we also, if you scroll down on this article, you can actually see the original Chucky and his hair and how much different it is.
And his face actually looks creepy. The doll looks creepy in this new one.
In the original.
Right. New one,
they try to make it look too creepy. And sometimes just that plain little happy looking, you know, Chucky doll, good guy.
I'm your friend to the end.
I'm your friend to the end. This one looks cute and innocent. And I think they tried to go, this one just, I don't know. And let's not mention, or let's do mention, he's wearing a sweater with overalls over top of it. And you can see it's clearly a sweater. And if I'm not mistaken, the original Good Guys doll just had kind of a striped T-shirt, long sleeve shirt with overalls.
Right.
This is a sweater.
Yeah, no, it definitely looks like a sweater.
It is knitted. So we'll leave that up to our hounds to decide how you like it, if you like it, why you like it, let us know. All right. Oh, man. This is going to be one heck of a show. This is, again, another suggestion. This has been 3 weeks in a row we've done a suggestion. This is episode 5. You can catch all of our previous episodes over there at nightoftheLivingDreads.com. That's no A in Dreads. D-R-E-D-S. And please don't forget to visit over there at gorehoundsofhorror.com. They are the home for this insane asylum. But we get a good show. Again, like I mentioned, this is the third show in a row that we have taken a suggestion from one of the posts that, you know, over there at Gorehounds. And I cannot remember the guy's name. I thought I ran into him. I really did. I thought I ran into him in another post, and I asked him, wait a minute, your name looks familiar. Are you the one who suggested Jeffrey Lionel Dahmer, which is going to be our topic for the night? But because we talked about this article first, we're going to take a quick break and kind of get you up to speed, because our movie is also named Dahmer. I believe it came out, what, 2002?
Yes.
2002. And you're going to hear me and Malice's take on that right after we hear one of the songs that was inspired by the Dahmer whole fiasco, that whole murders. Soulfly. This song is called Dahmer. We'll be right back. Night of the Living Dreads. In blood, his victims would crawl. Body parts all over his hall. They fit the name of his cannibal mind. Bloody murders he left behind. Jeffrey Dahmer, master cannibal. Jeffrey Dahmer, master of the gruesome. Dahmer, master cannibal. Jeffrey Dahmer, master of the gruesome. Psychologic interviews in jail to understand his behavior insane. Set him free, he'll do it again. A life dedicated to pain. Jeffrey Dahmer, Jeffrey Dahmer, master of the gruesome. Jeffrey Dahmer, master cannibal. Jeffrey Dahmer, master of the gruesome. Smoking victims through the night. Remember every body part. Smoking, killing in the night. JD in the house. He was born May 21st, 1960. Of course, serial killer. What type of serial killer was he? He would rape, dismember, necrophilia, and cannibalism. And I want to go through a list of some of the, or actually all 17 of the victims, just so you can get a scope on this. I mean, this is crazy. Stephen Hicks, 19. And it almost sounds like they're going in chronological order, because Stephen Hicks, I believe, was his first in that regards. Hitchhiker. Maybe not his first, but anyway, Stephen Hicks, 19, Stephen Twomey, 26, Jamie Doxeter, he was 14, Richard, Guerrero was 25, Anthony Sears, 26, Eddie Smith, 36, Ricky Beats, 27. Ernest Miller was 22. David Thompson, 23. Curtis Strauder, 19. Errol Lindsay, 19. Tony Hughes, 31. Conorak, I'm not even trying his last name. He was 14. Matt Turner, 20. Jeremiah Weinberger, 23. Oliver Lacey, 23. And number 17 in this list, Malice, Joseph Braidhoff. And he was 25. A long list.
That's a lot. I mean,
17 people. Yeah, you may say, well, 17 is not a lot there, Otis. But no, I mean, when you're talking about murders,
17 lives. Not 17 here anymore.
Lives. Before we jump into this, because our movie again this week reflects a lot on who we're talking about, actually, identically. This is one of those movies based on a actual story based on true events of Jeffrey Dahmer, simply titled Dahmer, who I think we mentioned came out in 2002.
Yes.
And I dug this movie. You actually own it.
Yes.
So why don't you start with, you know, what was your impressions of the movie, the acting? I have my opinions. Why don't you start?
I really liked the movie, but in my opinion, it's more of a documentary without the commentating.
It really is. Yeah, it's almost like, I don't want to say a mockumentary, but it's so close to a documentary that, you know, you're like, am I watching a movie? Am I actually watching a documentary? And not like it's filmed that way, but I think the facts given there are, you know, they go right along, you know, with the actual story.
Not only that, you know, I mean, there's several, you know, I would say some well-known actors like Jeremy Rayner,
mm-hmm.
Bruce Davidson.
Right.
And, you know, Bruce Davidson, he was in the Lords of Salem.
Yes. Yes.
And, you know, it's...
For those who don't know who Bruce Davidson is, he, in the Lords of Salem, he was the gentleman who was invited onto the radio show, and then further tried to, you know, take and get involved in whatever. He got whacked. Let's just put it that way. Older gentleman, white hair. You'll know who I'm talking about. So, but all in all, I mean, I thought it was a decent film.
No, it definitely was.
I really thought, and we had two movies up in the air. One was My Friend Dahmer, and then this one. And as I mentioned before, because I had seen My Friend Dahmer, you had not.
Right.
And I had not seen Dahmer, and you had owned it.
Right.
So, you know, it was like, okay, well, which one do we want to do? We decided to do this one. And my friend Dahmer is also a good film. But it only covers his childhood and his early teens. When he picks up the hitchhiker, that's where the movie ends, unfortunately. So it's really based on his school years, doing the Dahmer, which I'm sure we'll talk about, you know, doing a Dahmer, you know, acting crazy in front of people. So I'm just going to say I'm actually going to give this one my first A rating. I'm giving it a flat A. No A minus, no A plus, but a flat A. I really dug this movie. It was factual. When you know, if you watch this, if you've never seen it and you watch it and then you go and research, yes, there's going to be some inconsistencies. It's a movie. Hollywood's going to play a part in it, you know. But overall, yes, this was factual. It went along. The actor who played Dahmer, you could see him as Dahmer. And which is a big thing to me. So I give it a flat. What do you give it, Malice?
I give it a B.
You give it a B? What?
There wasn't that much gore.
Well, I don't think you need it.
Blood. There wasn't that much blood.
I don't even think you really need it in that type of, because he wasn't one of those bloody killers, you know.
Well, I mean,
strangulation and you know, yes, there was some, you know, could have been maybe a little more violence, but I thoroughly, Otis B. Dreads thoroughly enjoyed this movie. Malice thoroughly enjoyed it, just not as much as me.
I just expected them to, you know, make a meat pie.
Some head cheese.
Something, you know, I mean, it didn't show any of the cannibalism.
No, it did not. It showed a lot of his homosexuality and how that played into it, which we will get into, because with that, Malice Murphy gives it a B plus, you said?
No, a B.
Just a B.
A B.
Okay, and I give it an A. I give it a whole jump up. So let us know what you think. That's Dahmer, came out in 2002. Let's get into Dahmer. Jeffrey Lionel Dahmer, son of Lionel Dahmer, and do you have his mother's name handy? Because I, again, ladies and gentlemen, am completely unprepared. I'm going off the top of my melon. I don't know how this is going to work out, but you know what? Malice has my
Joyce.
Back. Joyce. See?
Annette.
I told you. Joyce. Malice has my back. So, here we go. And growing up, it is said that, you know, he was, you know, pretty much a normal child. I mean, up till he got to about 4 or 5 years old. There was nothing out of the ordinary. It was only till about 4 years old. Now, do you have you have anything, you know, I mean, before 4 years old? Because I haven't heard anything really before four.
No.
It's right around four that, well, his father states that, you know, there were some dead animals that were up under the crawl space, I think, of his house. He got them all out. It was, you know, a lot of bones and whatnot. Gathering them all up, he wanted to put them all just in one little spot and then take them out to the trash or whatnot. And it happened to be this metal trash can. Well, as he dropped them in there, of course, these bones of these carcasses are making noises. You know, clang, 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 bang, bang, you know. Almost sounds like a Charles Manson song. I'm serious. When he wrote some music. Anyway. Apparently, according to his father, little Jeffrey was really kind of almost in a trance. In fact, he used that word, a trance. He was kind of in a trance at watch and went over there at like 4 years old and picked up these, you know, handfuls of bones from animal carcasses that had died under their house and did the same thing and dropped it. Have you read something similar to that?
No, I'm just wondering if this was after his double hernia surgery.
Well, you know, that was something that his father had brought up as to maybe what brought this kind of personality on. Because he was a perfectly healthy young child. And I think it was right around four, right? I don't know if this was before or after. But that was one of the reasons that his father said, oh, did that affect him? Did the fact that at such a young age and, you know, he's having surgery, you know what I mean? Right. Did that spark something? What do you think? You don't. I told you, Melis really, Murphy will be here soon. No, I'm kidding.
It's hard to, I had surgery at a young age.
Sure, I did too.
Yeah, and I'm not.
Not major or anything. I mean, tonsils. Right. I mean, that's about all I
that's
had.
That's exactly what I had. I mean, I was in like the hospital.
Six, I think. Yeah.
I was in the hospital for a day.
Mm.
But it never made me want to.
You know, be a serial killer.
Yeah. Especially in that fashion.
And then that, as we'll get into later, is one of the reasons why it was really hard for them to, you know, the defense to pin a insanity charge on him or insanity defense. And again, we'll get into that. But his childhood, okay, and I'm assuming right around four, because according to his father, the early years of Jeffrey was happy, according to his father.
Yeah, he was a very energetic child.
Yeah, he was very energetic. He was, you know, very playful, and I think that his dad said that. And I'm always referencing his dad, and that's because his dad has been on a lot more interviews, his dad and his stepmom. You don't see his mom on too many interviews. I did catch one where they talked to her, and she seemed a little sketchy to me. That's all I'm going to say about that. I don't know enough about it, but she seemed a little damn sketchy. Like, she maybe wasn't really all there. I'm just going to leave it at that. But anyway, that's just my opinion.
I mean, well, it says that she had suffered from anxiety and depression and was prescribed, you know, pills.
Morphine, yeah.
And, you know.
Phenobarbital or something like that.
Prescribed a bunch of poison. Mm-hmm. A bunch of poison to.
That's all it is.
To melt who she was.
Right.
As a person.
And, you know, that is another thing that Lionel Dahmer, Jeffrey's dad, had mentioned could have been part of, you know, what was there something that happened while Joyce was carrying Jeffrey and taking pills on top of that, which he claims is true, she claims is not. To the point where she was having seizures, seizure-like symptoms. Her eyes would roll back in her head. Her jaw would get cocked to the side and lock, like she had locked jaw, but it was all off to the, you know? I mean, really weird kind of shit here.
Like,
you know?
Exorcist shit.
Right, man. I mean, Linda Blair reincarnated as Jeffrey Dahmer's mom. I mean, what are we talking about? You know, but that's what Lionel Dahmer claims. Her rebuttal, of course, is no. I don't remember any of these seizures. I don't or these so-called episodes. I don't know why he's saying these things. No, I don't. And then when asked about being prescribed morphine while she was carrying Jeffrey, she claimed, I don't remember what I was on. That to me was a pretty solid yes. How would you take that?
I don't know, man. That's...
I'll show it to you. I will show you this. After we're done recording, I'll show it to you. And when I find it, I will post it in the description of this podcast, so you guys can make your own, you know, conclusion. Come to your own conclusion about, you know, how crazy is Jeffrey Dahmer's mom, and did it play a part? I know a lot of people who came from crazy families. Okay, families. I mean that, you know, I don't know. We're not looking at them. We're probably not the best influence on, you know, their you know, kids, you know, or anyone around them. To be honest, you know, they didn't grow up to be, you know, cannibalistic, raping, dismembering, you know, homosexual, known as the Milwaukee Cannibal. You know, I mean, so what happened there? What was his childhood like? I think you made brief mention of it, you know, about his mom and his dad's relationship. His mom was obviously, you know, in mental turmoil. His dad was an aspiring, you know, chemist and was working in that field and going to school and whatnot. What else do we know about Dahmer's, you know, mom and dad?
Well, I'm sure that with, you know, him trying to pursue his career, and, you know, he's like, man, I got this crazy old bat at home flipping out all the time. He's trying to prevent me from living my dreams.
Right.
You know, they probably argued a lot. You know, he probably told her, you know, everything was fake. You know, you're faking it, you know, putting on one, and which probably made the situation worse. I'm sure there was some pretty crazy nights in the Dahmer house.
Oh, I'm sure. It was stated that growing up, as Jeff got older and, you know, later on, he was not considered a, you know, sociable person or have a lot of friends. But as a young child, he did have some friends. And these friends, they say he declined to ever invite them over. Some would say because he was embarrassed because his mom and dad were always fighting. It was not a pleasant household. Although Jeff and his dad, you know, had, I guess, some peaceful, serene moments. They had their little traditions that they would do. I think he mentioned on a Sunday they would walk like 2 miles and get fresh eggs from a farm down the road. Then they would walk the 2 miles back, and he would cook them all breakfast on Sunday mornings, he said, because he became pretty much the mother and the father, because the mother was, well, maybe a little bit under the weather when it came to all the, you know, prescriptions that, you know, she could have possibly been on, or just in her frame of mind. You know, I guess how she really... Like I said, I'm going to post, you know, I'm going to find, you know, the interview with his mom, and I'll post it in the description. So, you fellow hounds and all of you other listeners can judge for yourself, basically. But, okay, so what were we up to about, you know, is, you know, 4, 5, 6... That's when they said things started getting a little weird, though. He started getting a little reclusive. This uncharacteristic, according, you know, uncharacteristic shyness, because he wasn't like that just a few years prior. You know, when he was, you know, 1, 2, 3, and maybe into his fourth year.
Right.
Now all of a sudden he's shy. What do you think happened there? What do you know about this, brother?
Well,
but what's your theory on it? I would say what do you think?
He was probably isolated after his surgeries. You know, you got, you know, mom, she's on one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
say mom's on one. Give me my pain meds, Dad.
You got Dad. He's out in the garage. mixing chemicals. And he's up in his bed, man. He's sore. Wondering,
what
I'm for, man. Like, what did I do in life?
What? Yeah,
to deserve this already.
Here I am, 4 years old. I should like G.I. Joe, and here I am, you know, wanting to know what the insides of a fucking, you know, dead cat on the side of the room looks like. You know what happened? That's my question. What do you think happened? Because I know we don't know for sure. Even you know, psychiatrists, psychologists, they don't know for sure. All they have is speculation. All they have is theories.
Right.
What's your theory?
I think that him having a double hernia surgery at 4 years old, you know, in that time period, man, you know, it wasn't a modernized medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And
very much so, not as sophisticated as it is now.
Right, man. You know, that was probably a pretty brutal surgery for a 4-year-old to go through.
Sure.
And have a crazy mom and a dad that, you know, is overwhelmed with two other kids and a crazy wife and, you know, an aspiring career.
Right.
You know, I think that maybe a lot of that was a lot of trauma and warped his mind frame.
Well,
and
his
thought about life.
Right.
And
well, you know, when you go through trauma, a lot of times when it is so, you know, because we all experience or probably have experienced trauma, but some of it could be mild trauma to where it doesn't go as deep as some trauma will completely change the way you think. It changes, you know, this, you know, how your brain, you know, receptors and, you know, how your brain works. You kind of rewire your brain, you know, when things like that happen that affect you so bad, it can affect your entire outlook on life. It can affect just every aspect of your life. But my theory is I'm wondering how much and how bad it really did get in the Dahmer house between Lionel and Joyce. Was there violence? Was there physical violence? Did he see this? I know there was a lot of arguing. It was always tense. He became reclusive as a child. And I think possibly because of that. Because of that fighting all the time. He couldn't go to his mom and dad and talk to them about anything because, you know, as most records show, they were always fighting. It was very much, you know, turmoil in the house. So maybe he just drew himself back from that because he couldn't go to that and became a recluse. But what come out of that shell as he got older and, you know, almost as a way to try and fit in, although the group sometimes he was trying to fit into in high school, well, they were more just, you know, poking fun at his shit versus really being his true friend. Let's skip ahead to that because this is when things get good in his high school years. Gets into high school, okay, and actually it was about 13, 14 years old. His dad starts, you know, to kind of notice some things. But even Dahmer himself has stated in interviews that it was about 15, 16 years old. That's when things, he recognized a change and things changed. And if I'm not mistaken, that's where the first victim that I mentioned in the beginning of this here talk, Stephen Hicks, who was a hitchhiker. Was he not the first one? He had, at this point, let me preface this. He had, at this point, his mom and dad had split. Things had gotten too bad. They had split. His younger brother, David, and his mom, some say they went to her mom's. I'm assuming they just say grandma's. We know it's not his mom, so obviously, trial by fire. They move out of this house.
In 78.
In 78. And 78, what, when this happened?
Yeah, when his mom
left.
She received full custody of his younger brother. It was right after the divorce between his mom and his father.
Right. And he was actually living in a motel, is the reports that I got, that he had moved out of the house and was staying in a motel. And so he's in the motel. Joyce and younger brother David are at grandma's, and they move out. He's left in this house alone. And this is still in Bath, Ohio, correct? I think they had about 2 acres of land out there, and I believe that's where, and he's alone here. And this is where, here he is, he's alone. He's been said to have, you know, a drinking problem in school. Classmates would say, "Yeah, what are you doing? Well, what is that? Is that scotch you're drinking?" And he'd just shake his head.
"My medicine.
It's my medicine." And here he is, you know, getting drunk at like 8, 9 o'clock in the morning, you know, which we will be doing at Louder Than Life next weekend. I do want to step away real quick because I put a post out there, on Gorehounds about any hounds that go to Louder Than Life. Let us know, man. We love to hook up. So anyway, so he's drinking a lot. His drinking had gotten worse. Now he's 15, 16 years old in
78.
He was 18 then. He's born in 60. And this is right around the time where he picks up 19-year-old Stephen Hicks.
Right.
What do you know about Stephen Hicks? Malice?
Well, he was 3 days shy of his 19th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And Dahmer lured Hicks to his house with the pretext that the two would, you know, go get drunk.
Right, go have a couple beers and hang out.
Have a good time.
Bing, bing, ding, 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 ding.
According, this is Dahmer's testimony, after several hours of drinking and listening to music, Hicks wanted to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And Dahmer wasn't about to let that happen.
No, he didn't want to be alone.
Right.
And this goes back to my theory about why he changed, and what changed him in his head is because he became alone, because with his parents always fighting, all he could do was really look after his younger brother. He couldn't go to his parents for anything. So he you know, had to deal with everything himself. But God. Yeah, he didn't want to be alone. He had different ideas. What happened?
Yeah, he was looking at Hicks and was like, "Nah, you ain't leaving."
Hicks rhymes with something. I won't, boy. There's going to be some crude humor. I'm going to get into that.
I will get into that.
I was eating Five Guys before it was popular. That's an actual Dahmer quote. No, I'm kidding. It is not.
Anyway,
so go ahead. Anyway.
Dahmer, like, for real, I mean, he was like, this mother ain't leaving my house. He hits him in the head with a 10-pound barbell.
Barbell. Yeah, like a dumbbell kind of thing. Was it one of the arm thing? Yeah, a little dumbbell.
Dumbbell.
Smacks him over the head with a 10-pound dumbbell. What a dumbbell.
Struck him twice.
Twice.
This... you know, he says when Hicks passed out, I think that would kill somebody. I think that would crush their skull.
If you hit him hard enough, maybe he, but it's also said he was never really trying to kill his, you know, victims. He just wanted somebody to be there all the time. Whether against your will or not, you're going to be here. So maybe he didn't, but to hit somebody twice.
I mean, and
you can knock somebody out with a 10-pound bar, you know, dumbbell once. You can knock them out. You can stun them. You know,
I'm thinking even just letting the weight fall.
Yeah,
it's going to be the force that it hits with is going to be more than 10 pounds of pressure.
Yeah,
and it don't really take that.
Grab it, right?
It don't take that many pounds of pressure to crack the human skull.
Listen to Bill Nye over here, hounds.
I'm just surprised that it wouldn't have killed him instantly.
I agree.
Two strikes.
I agree. Two strikes. So what happens next, though?
He says he then strangled him, stripped him of his clothes, and masturbated on his dead body.
Yeah, it's getting brutal, folks. Yeah. This is, I mean, I don't know what is wrong with the people at Gorehounds of Horror. Because they suggest some of the most disturbing, you know, subject. But, I mean, a lot of people aren't going to... I learned something new here researching Jeffrey Dahmer that, you know, I thought I knew quite a bit about him. No.
Right.
So he strangles him after he hits him over the head twice with a 10-pound dumbbell. Strangles him.
Very next day, after he done played Circle Jerk by himself... he dissects Hicks' body.
Right.
He cuts him up. Mm-hmm. And then he buried him.
He was one of the pretty ones. And that's not even a joke.
He buried him in a shallow grave in his backyard. Several weeks later, he dug him up and then soaked the remains in acid in a big, like, 55-gallon drum. Mm. And then flushed it down the toilet, poured it down the...
Well, there were more than just his body in that 50-gallon drum. I can guarantee you that.
I mean, isn't it true that all that goes to a treatment plant, they filter it, they pump it back out in city water, and sometimes people get that as drinking water?
If it is, you better home. We have no Jeffrey Dahmers living anywhere near us. All right, so what year we're talking about? What, about 78 now? You said,
right,
about 78. That
Hicks.
Yeah, okay. I thought you said 76. No. Stephen Hicks, 19. He's gone. He goes missing. He was just a hitchhiker. And Jeffrey Dahmer even states himself. He says, you know, I really should have just drove right past him. He was like, but I, you know, and kept on going. He was like, but I didn't put the car in reverse and I picked him up. And that's kind of what started his hunger, because that's how he refers to it as. It's like an addiction, you know, going out on the hunt. You know how people are, you know, love to hunt animals. Right. You know what I mean? They love to go deer hunting and everything. And fine, whatever.
I like to go hunting.
Right. This was a different kind of hunting that he was very fascinated and, as he claims, addicted to. So he started going out and going on the prowl. But there was a little bit of time lapse, I think, between Stephen Hicks and his next victim. What do you know about that, or do you?
His next victim?
Right.
I'm not that far in my nose.
You're not that far, are you?
No.
Well, you're actually one step ahead of me, because I have no notes. We did fail to mention that in... right around 78, Dahmer was sworn into the Army. because it was right around this time after the Stephen Hicks incident. His father comes over, stops by, and according to his father, he was like, you know, well, where's your mother? Where's your brother? Oh, well, they're gone. They're gone. So his father then moves back in, realizes Jeff's got a little bit of a drinking problem here. He's quite the recluse. And, you know, encourages him, you know, getting a job. And, well, all that aside, then he ends up enlisting in the Army.
Well, I mean, he also got accepted and went to Ohio State.
Yes, he did.
And then, but he only...
Ohio State.
Yeah, he flunked out.
Jeffrey Dahmer was a Buckeye. For all of our Ohio fans out there, if there are any, or those that live here in the state that this insane asylum is founded in, yeah, Dahmer was a Buckeye.
For 3 months.
3 months. And kind of flunked out because, you know, he was going to blood banks and just going to plasma centers and selling his blood and then turning around and buying it and spending it on drink. Is the story I heard.
There's something wrong with that?
I mean, come on. They ain't like we ain't done it before.
I mean, I'm not saying I have.
You have a shitty week at work and, you know, I mean, well, you, I mean, I don't know. You're
not saying I haven't either.
Maybe that story about the, you know, lawnmower and everything, that was bullshit. So, 3 years later, he was sworn into the Army December 29, 1978. All right. March 26, 1981, he was discharged from the Army before his enlistment was up because his drinking, they say, had reached the point where he simply didn't function anymore. back in the U.S., because he went over to Germany. And that's where he, you know, was... They were like, hey, wait a minute. You're drinking too much beer.
And we drinking too much beer in Germany.
Yeah. Like, you may have a problem.
You know, you raped two people when he was in...
In Germany?
Two soldiers.
The Army?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Two soldiers. They testified or attest to have been raped by Dahmer. He had, one of them, he had repeatedly raped over a 17-month period. I mean, how does that happen?
It's like a Cal Ripken Jr. streak. 17 months straight, raping is good. No, I don't mean that. No, I mean, how do you get away with that?
And I mean...
You said 17 months, right?
A 17th month period. And this dude, he came out and said this in 2010. He says, you know, Jeffrey Dahmer raped me for 17 months. And at this point,
one guy for 17 months.
Yeah. For what? Just one of them, he said that it happened over a 17-month period. Okay. And it's like, dude, Jeffrey Dahmer is dead. And why are you going to come out in 17 months? That dude raped you?
Now you're crossing the line of stupid.
And you're admitting to it? And you're in the Army?
Yeah.
And you just didn't do anything to stop it?
Nothing. Not even after the first
time. And at that point in time, gays weren't allowed in the military.
No, that was not acceptable.
So, you know, all he had to do was say something and...
See something, if you feel something, say something.
Hoorah!
Oh, man, that is hardcore right there. So... I didn't know about the whole Army rape thing.
But I mean, I find it hard to believe.
It is a little.
Not saying it didn't happen.
Right.
Find it hard to believe.
It certainly is, my friend.
Was this the most scrawniest motherfucker in the military? Jeffrey Dahmer was. He looked pretty scrawny to me.
Like, yeah, he was. I mean, he was a little scrawny dude, and he kind of beefed up when he went into the military, and when, you know, he got out. His dad was saying, man, he came, you know, back when they would, yeah, he was smiling, which is something that he didn't do a whole lot of.
When he came back from the military?
Yeah, yeah. When he was
discharged.
Dishonorably.
No. He got an honorable discharge.
He did.
But it was, because he was an alcoholic.
Right. That's honorable?
I mean, due to his alcoholism in 81, he was deemed unsuitable for the military.
Right.
And was discharged. He received an honorable discharge.
Oh, okay. See, it don't even say honorable or not honorable or however
and
you want to say
superiors
that.
Did not believe any of his problems would affect civilian life.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's what we call military intelligence. So read that again. Yo, check this out. And this is not shitting on the military, but
this is shitting on individuals.
That
were responsible and just let this madman do what he did. Like, I mean, it was just blatantly obvious at certain points, and they just the cops, the military, they're just he's all right. Let him go.
He's cool.
Let's see what kind of shit he could stir up.
Right.
But due to alcoholism in March 1981, yeah, he was deemed unsuitable for the military and was he was discharged from the Army. He received an honorable discharge, and his superiors did not believe any of his problems would affect civilian life.
Nope. But you're not okay for us. But you're okay for out there.
Yeah.
Where there's not as many guns as there are in here.
You see everything outside that fence?
Yep. You're cool out there. In here, no good.
Go have fun, Jeffrey.
Yeah.
Go play.
And not that was their mindset. We're not trying. We're just kind of making fun about this. But it does seem, looking back, maybe they didn't see anything. I don't know. They've seen him, you know, just, oh, okay, well, he's just going to be a drunk on the street. You know, he's going to be a wino or whatever the case may be, you know. Maybe they didn't see the potential in his murderous ways, although he did join the military. I'm just saying.
I wanted to join the military at one point.
I did too.
I didn't want to kill anybody.
You had no choice. Well, you have no choice.
I wanted to be on a naval ship. You know, I wanted to be a cook or a diver.
But check this out. He worked as a medic.
Did he?
Mm-hmm. Worked as a medic, it is said. And, wow. About burnt your face off. That is not illegal drugs, ladies and gentlemen. It's actually a cigarette.
No, it's not.
I did not say that. Anyway.
Neither did I.
So, at any rate.
He worked as, you said,
Willy Wonka. No, I'm jumping ahead.
Oh.
To the chocolate factory. No, I didn't mean to. But he worked as a medic.
Medic.
Yes.
Ambulance.
Mm-hmm.
An ambulance.
Ambulance. The ambulance.
So I mean, what? I mean, he was the driver, or
no? No. In the military.
Oh, yeah, that is right.
Yeah, in the military, he worked as you know, a little bit in the medic field, or but at any rate, let's jump ahead though. There's now things are just getting crazy. I'm not even talking about this story. I'm just talking about this insane asylum. No. Things are getting crazy. He was at once picked up for molesting a small boy. Who ends up being one of his later victims' younger brother. Now, we don't have the time to actually go through every single murder, and because, well, we don't know, obviously, all the details of all of these, every single 17 murders. I mean, we could probably find him out. But that's what you're here for. Malice over here. My goodness. His brow is scrunched up. It's like he has got some. What do you got for me, Malice?
I'm trying to figure out where you are at.
I'm the story. All over the place. I don't think... I don't think Rachel, who is his note taker, I don't think she knows how my brain works. I'm all over the place. I really am, which may make for bad chronological order, but hopefully.
Okay, so here we are. He masturbated in front of a 12. Don't make me laugh. A 12-year-old boy. But he was only charged with disorderly conduct.
Disorderly conduct for masturbating on a 12-year-old boy.
Yeah, I mean, talk about a failed system.
Man.
And, you know, that wasn't the only occurrence, man. It was right there.
It was. Then it moved.
He exposed himself. I know
that. Oh, yeah. They were drunk and disorderly. There was exposing himself. Yeah.
To over 25 women and children.
Wow.
And, you know, once again, was under, you know, under charge. And, you know, it was just swept under the rug. Like, it wasn't.
No big deal.
It wasn't, you know, an out of the ordinary thing.
Hey, just doing a Dahmer.
Doing a Dahmer.
Which we didn't even like really touch on that, you know, the whole doing a Dahmer. This was something that happened in high school, where a group of friends would, well, they want to make them kind of fake friends is really what it is, and what they would do was, hey, you know, come on, you know, run up and down the, you know, hallway or something. All of a sudden, Dahmer's running around, screaming, waving his arms above his head, just causing a big scene. And this was called doing a Dahmer. I know it sounds like a number two, but it really isn't. Go ahead.
So, back to exposing himself to 25 women and children.
Mm-hmm.
He was arrested for indecent exposure, and he was convicted, but he was only fined $50 plus court cost after exposing himself to 25 women and children.
Wow.
In a state park, you go to jail for drinking a beer,
like $2
in a state
a
park.
Person.
You go to jail for drinking a beer in a state park.
You won't.
Now.
I had rangers pull me over one time, but that's for a different
probably
show.
Then, you can probably get in trouble for drinking a beer in a state park. And he exposed himself to women and children, and was that $50? How much was court cost? $1? It was in 1982.
That is crazy. I don't even want to put my age out there, but I guess it don't matter. I was 10 years old in 82.
I wasn't even a thought. You know, I was swimming around in my dad's balls in London State Penitentiary in 1982.
It's turned into an Andrew Dice Clay routine now. That's hilarious.
Oh!
All right. What was that? That was Andrew Dice Clay, man.
Oh. Where are we at?
We're in the insane asylum. My brain is turning to mush.
So,
right.
I hate to backtrack.
No. Been doing it all show.
Right, I did.
No, I have.
Oh, I thought I was. Anyway, so did you know that the Army gave him a ticket to go anywhere he wanted when he had his honorable discharge and he moved to Florida for a small period of time?
It's like a worldwide smorgasbord.
Well, I don't know if anything happened in Florida because he wasn't there very long.
Mm-mm. No.
You know, I mean, he was
just stationed there, wasn't he?
No. He was living there.
No, he was living there.
And he was evicted out of the motel he was living in for non-payment of rent.
Yeah.
Spending it all on booze.
On the booze.
Boozing it up.
And next page. Old Malice Boy, he has got notes out the yin-yang. Thank you, Rachel.
Yes, thank you, Rachel. Shout out to Rachel.
Because I have nothing.
But his MO was, you know, sleeping pills.
Yes, that was. That was how he would get his victims. And let's just summarize, because like I said, we can't go through all of his victims and how they died. I'm sure if you really need to know that, you'll find it. But...
Was Ambien around in 82?
Bill Cosby was. Oh, that was bad. That was bad, wasn't it? He Cosby'd him. Oh, damn. That was seen there ago. All right. No, you're right.
He was Cosby'ing him before Cosby'ing him was a thing.
So, yes, he takes and he claims that he would already have these sleeping pills already crushed up, waiting, and would make them. What one of the victims, or no, it was actually, I think the guy's name was Tracy something, and he was the one that got away that actually got him busted. Because the cops came back. Well, what happened was he said he wasn't a liquor drinker. And I watched this dude's testimony. He said he wasn't a liquor drinker. You know, it was probably more things with umbrellas. That's a joke and probably a really bad one.
My brother likes drinks with umbrellas.
We won't get into your brother at this point.
I don't ever want to get into my brother.
Anyway. So he says, what's Jeffrey do? Oh, you get a rum and coke with some sleeping pills in it. And Jeffrey grabs a beer.
Some Tylenol PM.
Man.
This will help your headache.
And, you know, next thing you know, dude's got a handcuff on, you know, half of it on one of his wrists. He's thinking, hey, this ain't the party I signed up for. This ain't the couple drinks I signed up for. The story goes on and on to where he tries to, you know, kind of calm Jeffrey down by, you know, taking his shirt off and this and that, just to get Jeffrey on a calmer level. It turns out that he ends up hitting Jeff and bolting out the fucking door. Okay? And this is when the cops come back. And yes, and they had old dude with them. They're like, look, where's the keys to the handcuffs? And Jeff said he don't remember what exactly he said. He said everything was kind of hazy at that point because he had a victim getaway and now the cops are at his door. He said this was one of the first moments that he thought, one of the first moment was the skull in the box that his dad almost caught, which we didn't get to, but trust me, we are on a time limit. You people are not.
It's in the movie Dahmer.
It is in the movie Dahmer, yes. And it's pretty accurately portrayed, according to his father, who was there. So, he said that he just kind of pointed to his bedroom. Keys are in there. Cops go in there and they see all these pictures of, you know, half naked men. I think there were some that were actually corpses. And immediately the cop from the bedroom yells, cuff him. From that point on, Jeffrey Dahmer was in custody. Now, the sentencing went through a insanity plea trial. They had to prove that Jeffrey Dahmer was insane. Now, I know when you hear about, oh, he was, you know, drugging, you know, gay men, 17 victims, 10 of them happened to be black. No, he states that this was not a racial thing. He just looked for men who, you know, were pretty, I guess, in his eyes, you know, were pretty. And they tried to throw a insanity defense. This did not work, although you would think somebody who does all this kind of stuff, they obviously are not in their right state of mind.
They're definitely not sane.
Right. This didn't fly. They said, no, we don't see him as, you know, being insane. No, he was competent when he made the decisions to do what he did. Now, I honestly agree with that. And before I give my reasons, what's your thoughts on them saying, no, he was not insane, he was competent, he will stand trial, and he will face whatever punishment he has coming to him? What do you think about that, the insanity thing?
I think whether you know right from wrong shouldn't determine if you're insane or not. And
that was a big thing. That was what kind of, you know, well, he was very methodical. Now, there was a method to Dahmer's madness. He covered things up. He was very cool, calm, and collected. Had 5 kills under his belt. Go to grandma's house for Thanksgiving. Nobody
appear,
is his father.
And appear perfectly normal.
Normal. You know, clean cut, I mean, just appeared completely normal to the ones who knew him the best. His own father, his own grandmother. They never saw anything.
I think that it really shouldn't matter. You know, if a person is insane.
So basically you're saying he was insane.
Right.
To do that.
I mean, they sentenced him to multiple life sentences.
957 years.
You know?
That's a long time for a sane
No one's going to live that long.
And he didn't.
And, you know, you can sentence insane people to life inside of a sane asylum.
Which is what the defense was going for, yes.
So you can also sentence insane people to death. I mean, what was the motive for not trying them or not, you know, accepting the insanity plea?
Right. No, I get it. I really do. I get how anybody who does these kind of things is obviously, like you said, perfectly said, not sane.
I mean, they should have
You're not in your right state of mind. You shouldn't be out rubbing elbows with the general population. I get that. But the fact that, and again, you made another good point, that the determination between what's right and what's wrong should not be the sole factor. I get that. But that, unfortunately, would kind of, and I get it, would determine whether a person was, if you're able to determine what's right or wrong, but you still do something wrong, which we all have, does that make you insane? Because we've all done it. You know, we've all known, oh, we probably shouldn't have these few beers at this bar and then drive home. But yet we do. Does that make us insane? Because we know the difference between right and wrong, but we still choose to do wrong. So I get that part, you know. I don't think that... Yeah. What I'm trying to say here is, all right, I'll just shut up after that. What I'm trying to say here is that the difference between right and wrong and the atrocities at hand, we could, you know, normal people will choose to do something like maybe drink and drive or smoke a joint and drive to the store or do something that's not technically legal. You know what I'm saying?
Completely.
And we'll still make those decisions, but most of us don't make the decision to go across the street to the local bar, pick up somebody, bring them home, drug them with sleeping pills, okay, possibly strangle them or beat them to death, which he did at the Ambassador Hotel. Most of us don't do those kind of things. So when you do those kind of things, it's like, where was that line? Was that line so blurry that you couldn't see right and wrong? At that point when you're doing something so, you know, horrible? That's all I'm saying.
My thought comes from, what did they accomplish from, you know, not accepting the insanity plea and trying, or
no, they didn't accomplish anything.
They sentenced. Let's say he wasn't murdered.
Well, actually, I know what they accomplished.
He would still be in prison.
No, he wouldn't.
If he wasn't murdered, he would still be in prison.
Right, but he was, and that's what they accomplished. If they throw him in the general pop, okay, and everybody knows Dahmer, okay, and we all know. Unfortunately, the prison community is filled with a lot of Hispanics, the minorities, Hispanics. You got a lot of black population in the prison system. Mm-hmm. Okay. You throw him in the general population, which 10 of his 17 victims were black. Well, and maybe that is cheaper than keeping somebody on death row for who knows how many years. Throw them in general pop where, you know, 80% of the population is black or whatever that was at that time. Boom. He's a dead man.
Or put him in an insane asylum and have him studied.
But then that, you know, again, you know, maybe they were looking out for the taxpayers.
Yeah.
I don't know. But at any rate, a man by the name of Christopher Scarver, who was known in jail and had the nickname of Christ, killed Jeffrey Dahmer in jail in Wisconsin.
And he was in prison for murder.
And he was in prison for murder, yes.
And he also killed another guy, Tracy Edwards.
Yes, not Tracy Edwards.
Yeah, you're right.
And
I got my notes mixed up.
He did. But there were apparently in the gym area. And how ironic. Do you think that Scarver knew something about the first murder, because it is said that he hit him with a bar, a weight bar, in the gym room? Yes, there was another gentleman with
Jesse Anderson.
That was his name. And both of them were murdered in prison by Scarver. So, last words, my friend. I honestly don't know what I'm going to say, but that's why I'm passing the mic to you.
Last words. He deserved everything he got. You know, he was definitely a sick person. But do you think
he did it?
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
I think it would have just been more beneficial to science if they would have studied him.
What, take his brain?
Well, that after, you know, he died. Or
they did that to, who'd they do that to? We just covered a show where they just did that. Was that Gacy? Or
yeah, it was Gacy.
It was Gacy, wasn't it?
You know, if they would have...
And they found nothing.
Yeah, I mean, he had numerous of interviews while in prison. You know, if they would have just had, you know, doctors and related... Thank you.
They don't have those kind of things. They're you know, prison is not meant to rehabilitate anyone.
Rehabilitate or educate.
Or yeah. I'm not sure there's educational...
Incarcerate.
Yeah. You know,
cage. I mean, you turn... Take something that was already manipulated and just completely fuck it up even more.
So maybe it's better that Dahmer got killed when he did.
I'm saying
he wanted it. He really did.
It was a good thing that it happened. I just think it would have been better if he would have been studied.
If he'd have been what?
Like studied, like, oh, you know, researched and maybe even experimented on. I'm just kidding about that.
Man, now you're starting to freak me out. All right. We got to get the hell out of here. It's been a pleasure.
It's getting insane in the insane asylum.
It is getting very insane here. The padded walls are going up.
They're breathing.
Not in here.
Breathing. They're breathing.
I thought you said breeding.
Like, no one's getting fucked tonight.
At any rate, I hope you enjoyed this babble. Yes, it is Friday night. Yes, we have had a few drinks to loosen up, to have a good time, to try and talk about these things. And I hope you guys enjoyed it. We will be back next. Well, you know, next week, we'll just put it at this. Next week is Louder Than Life down in Louisville, Kentucky, Champions Park. And so we haven't really decided what we're going to do. We still want you guys to have something to listen to. So, but
check us out on Facebook, though. You know, we're going to be doing some Facebook Lives.
Yes.
And we're going to be posting some videos. And, you know, for next week's show, you know, we're still on the fence. We're talking about, you know, what we're going to do, if we're actually going to do a show, if we're going to, you know, maybe try to collect some mic checks and, you know, group them up.
We're getting some.
You know, it might not be a long show like our usual shows, but we'll definitely have something out there for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And so, with that being said, I am Otis B. Dreads.
I am Malice Murphy.
And this is Night of the Living Dreads. Don't forget to check out nightoflivingdreads.com. Don't forget to check out gorehoundsofhorror.com and Gorehounds of Horror on Facebook. Hey, Night of the Living Dreads is also on Facebook.
D-R-E-D-S?
That's right. D-R-E-D-S. DS. No A in Dreads. Come and find us. Say hi. We will see you very soon.
Thank you.
Things no one knows. We're going to die.